KQED.
From KAZU in Monterey, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm John Sepulveda, and we begin here in Monterey County, in Big Sur to be precise, a community that has been cut off from most car traffic from the south due to a massive landslide. Caltrans offered reporters a look at this epic earth movement, and KCBX's Greta Mart was there.
Four different landslides rolled into one and buried California's famous coastal highway under millions of tons of earth and rocks last Saturday night. Route 1 now lies under a solid wall of dirt 40 feet high for about a quarter mile. A Caltrans crew drove reporters out to the slide. It was an awesome sight. An entire mountainside crumbled into the sea. Caltrans engineer Rick Silva pointed to what is now the new shoreline, an estimated 16 acres that wasn't there last Friday. The first question reporters had was how long it would take to fix it. Here's spokesperson Susanna Cruz.
It is going to take approximately a year. We have to see if there's any roadway underneath here, which we feel it might be gone. So just several weeks of being able to assess and design and get an idea of what the fix will be.
Cruz says at this early point, there's no estimate of cost. For the California Report, I'm Greta Mart.
There have been several developments this week on President Donald Trump's executive order to pull federal funds from so-called sanctuary cities. Marisa Lagos from KQED's California Politics and Government Desk reports San Francisco and Santa Clara counties are leading the fight.
The president's order to strip funding from places like San Francisco that refuse to cooperate in federal immigration enforcement has been on hold since April. That's when U.S. District Judge William Orrick blocked it from taking effect. This week, the Trump administration stepped up its attempts to make good on its threats. First, on Monday, Attorney General Jeff Sessions issued a two-page memo limiting the scope of the funding threat. It seems aimed at convincing Judge Orrick to let Trump's order take effect. But the very next day, the Trump administration unveiled a budget proposal that would force cities and counties to participate in far more immigration enforcement. San Francisco City Attorney Dennis Herrera.
To me, it was the ultimate bait and switch.
Herrera filed one of the lawsuits challenging the sanctuary city executive order.
They lead people to believe in their public statements that they're going in one direction. They're trying to expand things through the back door to put more cities and jurisdictions at risk. So to me, it speaks to how dishonest they're being with respect to this issue.
Herrera's office is asking the court to keep the executive order funding threat on hold. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
The town of Salinas. There have been 94 murders the past 4 years, according to the police, most of them gang-related. And during part of this period, the Violence Policy Center called Salinas the youth murder capital of California. This is not a new problem. The city has been plagued by gang violence for more than 20 years. And for each murder, there is that moment when a loved one, a sister, a brother, a spouse, a parent, or a child finds out about it. For Debbie Aguilar, her story starts when she came home and called out for her son.
Stefan, what do you want for dinner? It's your choice, lasagna or enchiladas. I just bought this nice old pan, and the curtains are closed, the blinds are closed, the bed doesn't looks a little messy, but, you know, that's my son's room. No clue. Just thinking he's out doing a little errand or something, or with his girlfriend. Then the phone starts to ring, one after another, Stefan there, no, he's not. But then one person asked me, is it true? Is it true? I heard Stefan was shot last night. I just went into a convulsion, trauma, shaking, tremblers. My husband drives up from work. And he hears from me, Stefan got shot. I got a phone call, and I don't know what to do. And I'm scared, and I'm calling everywhere. Me and the neighbor, she's helping me. We're making calls everywhere. He didn't even question anything. He just got back into his car, started up, reversed it. He goes, I'll be back. Comes back and gets off the car, and I'm like waiting, like with anticipation, with hope. And I remember running to him from our front porch to the driveway. He just puts his head down, and I fell to my knees. The life was sucked right out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie Aguilar's son, Stefan, was killed in 2002. Aguilar has since founded a support group for the mothers of victims of gang violence. It's called A Time for Grieving and Healing, and she says its membership has grown every year. Okay, so switch things up a little bit. Today, many Californians pride themselves on being open, accepting, inclusive people where everyone is welcome. That's a big change from the state's early history when Chinese, Mexican, Irish, black people, basically anyone who could identify as the other, were barred in many places from integrating. Even to the point where people couldn't be buried in the same graveyard as someone from a different ethnic or religious group. But KAZU's Erica Mahoney says more than 100 years ago, there was at least one inclusive graveyard in Santa Cruz.
Evergreen Cemetery in Santa Cruz is the final resting place for the nameless and noteworthy. Civil War veterans, Chinese immigrants, and local prostitutes. And just as their lives were not the quote-unquote norm of their day, so too are the way they were laid to rest. Their headstones are not in neat rows laid out on a green manicured lawn. Evergreen Cemetery is built into a hillside, like a tiered cake. Trees stick out amongst a jumble of old headstones. Sibley Simon volunteers for the Santa Cruz Museum of Art and History, which owns the cemetery.
There's about 2,000 people buried here. Only about half of them have headstones now.
Back then, the only other cemetery was at the Santa Cruz Mission, where you had to be Catholic. Families who bought plots had the responsibility to keep them up forever. But as those families disappeared and more modern, flat cemeteries came about, Evergreen fell into disrepair. Ivy took over many of the plots, homeless encampments sprung up, and this became a place for vandalism and drug use. Then, 6 years ago, the museum decided to turn things around.
And I really saw this place and thought, it needs a lot of work, and it's a community project that needs to happen.
Restoring a cemetery that, through death, offered a glimpse of life in a diverse California 100 years ago. For the California Report, I'm Erica Mahoney in Santa Cruz.
Well, let's switch it up now, go somewhere a little bit lighter. We've been exploring the sounds off the coast of Monterey Bay, and yesterday we shared this. Underwater storm, maybe a submarine motor? Well, it is actually two ocean events put together. The Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute's John Ryan has the answer.
And so the first one was an earthquake. The second one was recorded during a submarine landslide.
Now, some of these frequencies were so low they had to be sped up 20 times to be heard by the human ear. And Ryan says the rumblings of earthquakes across the globe are picked up by this hydrophone.
We are hearing earthquakes not only locally from the San Andreas Fault just east of Monterey Bay, for example, but we've also heard earthquake swarms off New Zealand.
So with that, we have one more sound from the depths of the sea. Here it is. Take a listen. Do you think you know what it was? Well, you can send us an email with your guess at calreport@kqed.org and tune back in next week for the answer. Our engineers are Danny Bringer, Katie McMurrin, Howard Gelman, and Jim Bennett. This week we have been welcomed with big open arms by public media station KAZU. To Brant, Mary Jane, Krista, Erica, and Mick, thank you so much for your generosity. Porta, it was great to see you. And special thanks this week to Doug McKnight, not just for the help he gave us this week, which he did, but for all the training and mentoring and laughs you've given me and other reporters as we developed our own careers, and for your essential work in ensuring KAZU's long-term success. And that's the California Report for Friday, May 26, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great weekend.